fourth and final hour on this sunny Tuesday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looks like a beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. At least it is down here in Rutherford County. And Smyrna, how about East Nashville and Bellevue? How's it looking over there?
Looking sunny good here.
Looking yeah good.
All right. What about it by the airport, Elijah? How's it looking? Sunny?
Sunny-ish.
Sunny-ish. Got a little bit of an ish over by the airport.
From my perspective, at least. I'm looking through blinds that are partially open. So.
Okay. Well, we should have Derek Mason here in a brief moment. Talk about their tough loss down at A&M. By the way, AK is what we'll call the Steelers reporter, because I'm not going to attempt it. I'm not going to jump in there like Chase did and then go pull the Carl Lewis. Work. Go, uh-oh, whoa.
I jumped latest, on the banana peel.
The latest tweet from AK, both Steelers players and coaches, oh, wait a minute, both a Steelers player and coach, singular, told me they initially were told the game was super unlikely, but they were just told it's back on.
Interesting.
You talk about a fluid situation.
I know. No kidding. Is that not typical? Is that not a typical 2020 tweet?
Very
what
much
we've
so
been doing the last 6+ months?
The other piece, though, I guess we haven't heard anything new on it, was, is there any speculation that you would push it to Monday?
No, I've seen nothing,
of
the sort.
Seen nothing, but I still think that would be a reasonable ask if I'm the Titans.
Well, somebody who understands a little bit of what the Titans are going through is our next guest. Derek Mason is on the line with us, our weekly chat with Vanderbilt football coach. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well, fellas.
We are talking today about, like I said, the Titans are going through a little bit of what you've experienced and other coaches around the country have experienced. Whenever you start getting positive tests, whenever you have to start shutting things down, the NFL hasn't had that happen until now, which really has surprised us that the first 3 weeks were pretty clean. But here we go, getting ready for week four, and the Titans are front and center on that news front as they have shut everything down. What's that like when you had to go through that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the thing that you're trying to do is make sure that you can get a you can get a hold of it, figure out exactly who, when, where, go through the contact tracing piece, make sure that you can you know, minimize the risk of anybody else like in your place, because they're pretty self-contained, you know, over at the Titans, just in terms of their facility and what it looks like. So the thing that you want to do is make sure, and I'm sure they've done this, already gone through this, is just, you know, contact tracing, you know, continue to clean the facility, continue to do the things they need to do, but also just see what the, you know, 1, 2, and 3 day impact, you know, it'll be to see, you know, if anybody does become positive. The difference with those guys is that they're testing every day. So
yeah, true.
I think in their procedures and protocols, I mean, they'll get a quick handle on it and figure out exactly where they can go.
Did you have to, you know, so you've done so much through via Zoom, and we've had different ways to go about our business this calendar year. Did you find yourself, because we've already read quotes where Mike Vrabel's already trying to get in their head, like, hey, if we're shut down all week and we just have to do a walkthrough on Saturday and they make us play on Sunday, like, we got to be ready to go. In other words, he's basically saying, don't be trying to build up excuses in your head. We'll work and do things that we can do. We can't do it out on the practice field, but we'll still keep preparing until they tell us not to. What about for you? Were you able to still get some work in when you couldn't be out there via Zoom or what have you?
Absolutely. I mean, the Zoom piece became, you know, extremely important, because it is about, you know, attitude affecting outcome and making sure that we were able to just check on our guys, like from a wellness standpoint, and make sure everybody was okay. And then, you know, we were able to have, you know, wellness checks along with the ability, you know, to still virtually do football. And like, believe me, it's a different way of doing things. It's not the preferred way, man, but right now it's really the only way, you know, when things like this pop up. And so it makes you have to be, you know, extremely creative with not just how you meet, man, but really what you talk about, you know, like the messaging that needs to be crafted around it. Because, again, you want to you want to make sure that you can, you know, calm everybody down, keep everybody, you know, like in good spirits, but also, just be where your feet are and understand that, you know, like you got to walk the fine line between continuing to prepare and making sure everybody's okay.
Coach, you looked aggravated at the end of the game. You looked like something was really bothering you. I think it was an official. What was going on at the end of the game where you looked pretty peeved?
And you look at those things can happen from time to time, but we're just talking about you know, situational football. You know, in a 2-minute scenario, you know, we get a stop on first down. You know, I'm trying to get a timeout called, and obviously, you know, they were at you know, capacity wise, and it wasn't a full house, but you know, maybe it was too loud for him to hear. But you know, I was trying to draw his attention and just situational awareness all the way around. I think, you know, obviously, you know, referees are trained the way we're trained. You know, I mean, you're trying to make sure that you can, you know, get somebody's attention and somebody's paying attention so that you can get a timeout called. I think we lost maybe, you know, 15 seconds, I believe. 15 seconds. I can't remember. But, you know, the idea was, okay, I mean, get the timeout called then so we can stop the clock. And, you know, time was against us in that scenario. So, I mean, you're just trying to get the timeout. I couldn't get the timeout. And really couldn't garner his attention, and that was a little frustrating. And, you know, I mean, our exchange was not an exchange that I thought warranted a penalty, man, but it got one. So, you know, with that being said, you know, man, we had a conversation with, you know, their head of officials on Sunday. Man, we got it all worked out. I think moving forward, you know, situational awareness, you know, on their part and me making sure, man, that I can get the eyes of somebody at the end of a half or end of a game is something that I think is needed and really easy and doable.
You know, I'm going to make an editorial comment here, Coach, because I know you don't want to have to do it, but I'm going to do it for you. I don't understand how an SEC referee could not be looking over the sideline in anticipation of a team using their last timeout in that situation. It made no sense to me at all. And then they hit you with a 15-yard penalty that makes even less sense. And I realize that you guys are sort of hanging on by a thread. You're hoping to stay alive a little bit longer. But that's just basic stuff. Like, what, all the stuff that you just explained is really basic refereeing 101. Darren and I and Chase could look over as a reference. You know, this is basic football. They have one timeout left. They've got to stop the clock. Maybe he wants to call the timeout. How could they not be looking at you? I don't understand that.
I think the thing that really surprised me is, you know, you're having to do things differently. And, yes, you, like you said, you've dealt with these loud SEC venues where full capacity, man, it is hard to hear. And, okay, chalk it up as it's deafening. Okay, but yes, there's fans in the stands, but it's a whole lot less, and it's a different atmosphere that you just went through. But the other thing is, you guys are doing things differently. You got to wear these masks. You have to be muffled, and you're not being able to scream. And I know sometimes you pull them down, but you know it's a different set of circumstances. So you would think, Coach, that they would be even more aware of it because everybody's having to do things a little bit different, and that they would be on more alert because it's not normal times. That's my editorial.
Well, that was the bigger discussion, you know. It's not a year ago, and you know, hopefully in 2021 it looks different. But in 2020, I mean, we've all got to be, you know, I mean, aware of, you know, everything going on around us. And again, I mean, it's just one of those things that you know, I mean, hopefully you talk to it, man. You're able to get some assurances, you know, like to help make that part of the game easier, because that part of the game is hard within itself. It really is.
I mean,
you know, you're looking, you're trying to manage the clock. How much time will you have? What does it look like? But like I said, I had a really good conversation. I think it leads us in the right direction, and it doesn't give us that opportunity back. But you know, it is an opportunity for growth. And as long as we don't have situations like that again and it's not repeated, man, you feel good about going forward.
Coach Derek Mason is with us. And, Coach, you know, there were a lot of guys that we saw play for you significant time that we hadn't seen much before. We didn't know exactly what to expect, but you had to feel pretty good about how the guys really fought and competed. And every time it looked like they were on the ropes, they seemed to come back with a big play. And you guys, you know, had your opportunities to win the football game.
We did. You know, for me, man, I'm extremely encouraged, you know, by this group. You know, I mean, a young man, Commodore man in 2020. I mean, they, like every team in the country, we've all worked hard. Like I said, everybody started from the same starting line. And, you know, like this group, you know, went out, man, they played hard. We had young guys play. Man, we probably played close to 60 players on Saturday, you know, in different capacities. And I mean, it's just that type of year. But we do understand that we're better collectively. I think this group has bought into the simple idea. I mean, we've all got to, you know, prepare, train hard, challenge each other, and hopefully, you know, what you do in practice can carry over, you know, in the games. And I thought these guys, you know, left it out there on the field. I mean, you know, offensively, I mean, I had a chance to see, I mean, a freshman quarterback going to, you know, a place to face a top 10 opponent and actually, you know, function and maneuver and be able to handle himself, you know, as an SEC quarterback. So that was good to see. You know, I mean, you saw a defense be disruptive, and you saw an offense that was able to move and control, move the ball and control the clock. And I thought, you know, that was good to see, especially on that first drive, you know, being able to go down and get points. And then I thought we were solid in special teams. So overall, you know, good first performance. These guys know, hey, you know, there's two teams playing, and you want to win the game. This is not about finishing second. There are no more victories in this, and what we got to do is play to win. And that's what exactly how we're trying to prepare. We're trying to prepare to win, compete to win, play to win.
You had a lot of things that, you know, you knew you were going to have new players, new coordinator, new system, but then you got hit with some players that opted out on the offensive line. I was really watching them close. I thought for about 50 minutes they really played well. It looked like maybe a little fatigue at the end. I'm just my observation, but you had to like what you saw, and it looks like you've got something to build off of there.
We do have something to build off of. You know, in this, it's not going to be without its fair share of challenges. And, you know, I told our guys, playing football in 2020 is not about excuses. It's about, you know, man, investing in the opportunities that you have. I thought that the offensive line played well. I mean, I thought, again, we were able to move the line of scrimmage at times. Man, we did a good job of keeping our quarterback upright most of the game. And there's a lot on that tape to learn from, grow from, get better. And that's exactly what we're working on now.
What you mentioned it, there are no moral victories. I would think for a lot of young players especially, the lesson of – because the reaction overwhelmingly, I think, for everybody that's going to be in contact with them outside of your group is going to be, hey, guys, you did a good job. You were right there. But as you know, to get over the hump is another thing, and you've got another big challenge here. So continuing to improve and get better and not rest on that, let's just call it, quote-unquote, moral victory – is going to be really essential.
Yeah, this group was mad after the game. They felt like, man, we had our chances, okay? And we don't want to be the group that's just, okay, well, man, we had our chances and we didn't capitalize. So, I mean that was as much a motivating factor, you know, man, getting back on the practice field today as anything else. I mean, these guys were mad. They were angry. I mean, man, I saw tears. I mean, it was very quiet coming back. And I think that's what you want from a group, man. I mean, that's got some veterans mixed in with a lot of young guys that play. You know, it hurt. You know, I mean, you know, losing should hurt. Okay, I mean, it should hurt. You know, man, enough to make you get up, man, get back to the drawing board and make sure, man, that we can correct. You know, like the things that are correctable. You know, man, football. A lot of times in football, it comes down to the simple fact that you beat yourself. Your opponents don't beat you. So. We felt that way. I know this week is going to be challenging with LSU, number 16 in the country, but every week's a challenge in the SEC. And that's what these guys signed up for, okay? That's what they want. That's what they said they want. That's what they get, okay? Every day is an opportunity. What you do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, okay, carries over to Saturday. And that's really where we are right now, okay? So we're going to go forward, okay? Man, we got a good team coming in here. We feel like we're a good team, and now what we got to do is go out there on Saturday and play our style of football because we know what LSU is going to bring in here.
Talking to Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. So you bring up LSU. They're obviously coming off a big loss in week one against Mississippi State. What are some things that you've seen in early preparations that you feel like that your team can exploit them on, that they, that you have the advantage?
Well, I mean, from game one to game two, I mean, you're going to see a lot of improvement from LSU. Obviously, they were without one of their top guys in Stingley. And, you know, I mean, to lose him at corner and then the special teams return game, you know, it was a big loss for them. But, you know, like with that being said, I mean, they looked a little, you know, rusty in the pass game. They got the run game going. They made some big plays in that ball game. And like anything else, you know, first game tackling, you know, and a couple of busts here and there. And what you find is that, you know, a game can get out of hand. So, like for them, I'm sure they're going to clean their stuff up. But they've got a potent offense. Defensively, man, they've always got, you know, players, athletes. When they got a couple of guys up front that can go get it. Again, Stingley is back. And we know who they are. We played this team a year ago. And LSU still has the same, you know, talented guys that they had a year ago. Some of those guys have gone on, but they lock and reload. So, you know, for us, man, it's got to be about making sure that we do what we do. Okay, we understand what they do. We got to be at our best. We got to hit on all cylinders. We got to protect our quarterback. We got to be able to move the football. We got to be able to get stops defensively, and we got to be able to cover and get returns in the special teams part of it. So, football's football. This thing is not going to be, you know, man, you know, some far-fixed equation to play. Man, we got to show up. Man, we got to perform in all areas, and that's what we look forward to.
Coach, how excited are you that you're going to get some people in attendance, some students will be allowed to come into Vanderbilt Stadium and watch you guys play?
You know, I'm thankful to our administration and really, you know, Candace and athletics, you know, man, for, you know, been giving us the opportunity to have some you know, senior student here at Vanderbilt, man. It's going to be our senior undergraduate students who are going to be in attendance. And obviously, our students are in the testing protocol, not like ours, man, but they're getting tested once a week. So they're in the same bubble as us. We look forward to getting our families, our players' families, you know, first and foremost, and our fan base back. But this is about a ramping up period. You know, the biggest thing that we know right now is that when you've seen teams get shut down, like Notre Dame and some other schools, it's happening from the outside in. You know, we haven't had an event on our campus, you know, like since our last football game, or in our stadium since our last football game. So for us, it's about logistics. You know, man, what are we doing in terms of getting people in, out, and making sure, man, that we can keep this place safe? Because Vanderbilt has done as good a job as anybody in the country when you look at the report rate, you know, man, of positive COVID cases. So, again, I mean, it's a ramping up. I look forward to getting, you know, man, I mean, our student athletes, parents here, because we need them. Man, we need our fan base too. But this is the first step. And hopefully sometime, you know, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, man, but we'll find ourselves getting back to, you know, some semblance of normalcy in our own stadium.
RTI, Coach, RTI.
You got to be that way. Let's get it.
By the way, I love when you just get – when you get so passionate. I mean, you don't want my old butt out there playing for you, but, man, I feel like I'm ready to suit up. When you get going, I'm ready to suit up and play.
Well, this is what I'll tell you. Man, if you love to compete, hey, man, come on over here, man. Let's go and get that action. Man, I'll take you anytime.
Willie and Chase know I love to compete. I probably go too far sometimes. Hey, best of luck. Appreciate it as always. Good to talk to you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Take care. Anchor Dan.
All right, that is Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach. When we come back, RTI, by the way, was what was on his mask on Saturday, and they talked about it on SEC Network. Pretty cool. He's always got the slogans. You know, coaches do that, get people fired up, kind of like what we were just talking about. He was getting very passionate in that interview with us. We'll come back. Mitch Light from The Athletic. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.